It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 27th day of April, 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes, live at this point in time. Live from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Again, Monday through Friday. Funny how that works out. And, well, podcasting at any time of the day or night that you feel the need for a little conversation radio. It's all right there for you. Turn down the monitor there before the feedback starts. Hi, I'm Robin. And, well, it's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Yeah, it's kind of a carryover from yesterday because I had a moor-in for Monday. But it works out nicely because this individual is, in fact, a Titanic intellect. Remember, we save Tuesdays for those manifestations of right-wing brain power that just scream all engines ahead full into that there iceberg. Yeah. And we get plenty of examples, but, yesterday I felt like Joe Manchin deserved it. And, of course, there were a bunch of other stories scattered in amongst the conversation. I mean, like the fact that the Supreme Court's going to hand everybody a gun. You might have missed that one otherwise. But, oh, well, anyway, here it is, Titanic Tuesday. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, not the least of which this particular program. And so on for this 27th day of the month, our gratitude goes out to our 27th day of the month subscriber. And that means thanks very kindly to Robert in Australia for being a partial sponsor of the program. Robert's all by his lonesome there on the 27th of the month, and I'm sure loves some company. But that's, and so where are we? I can happily announce that Irish Dave took care of a day of programming. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Irish Dave. That means that we've gotten the fundraising goal for this evening down to $570. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Thanks so very kindly indeed for knocking out a day's worth of programming. That is, well, that's profoundly important and profoundly kind at one and the same time. If you'd like to be a new subscriber, of course, well, it's real easy. There's a little checkbox on the main page at headon.live. Make this a recurring monthly, yada, yada, yada. And remember, a $10 a month subscription keeps this program, helps you keep, you help keep the program on the air, and it sets you back not quite every bite of a half of a McDonald's hamburger. And this, by any metric, this program, day after day, night after night, is better than any hamburger that McDonald's has ever had. And don't worry, God, I can't believe we talk about these. Don't worry, Joe Biden isn't taking your hamburgers away, or hamburgers, for that matter. That was a great example of the bilious disinformation peddled by the right wing in this country. Joe Biden's going to take away your hamburgers to cut climate change. Yeah, and that became a briefly a thing. Oh, yeah. Now, well, we'll get to other stuff as well. But as far as Titanic Tuesday is concerned, well, let's get started in the usual fashion. Flavio says, I turned off the filthy morning habit today. Big old Jim Justice is a hoot and a holler, all right. Well, when you listen to this program, you know the reality. While, you know, while the millionaires are sitting there gushing over Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, you know the truth. You know that he is a racist POS and a deadbeat who doesn't pay his billions of dollars in taxes from his coal operations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in multiple states. But, you know, that's just too much for the multimillionaires of the for-profit media to actually, you know, have to sort out. Because, you know, he talks with a Mr. Haney Twang, and that means that he did. And that Mr. Haney Twang is exactly who, well, it's designed for the likes of the multimillionaires of the for-profit media. It's got that aw shucks shit-kicker thing going for it, and da. Oh, well. Yeah. Boy, what a beautiful day here today. It is, it's 82 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Because it got well up into the 80s on the outside, too. And lots of work going on. Lots of work taking place. Good frame of mind. Feeling good. Yeah. So, hopefully the program will be as engaging and as enjoyable as ever. What's that? Lamar the Magnificent says, "Oh, Robin, help. I'm having one of my Dr. Demento moves. My activity will be limited. My jokes are of bad taste. Work with me." hang in there, Lamar the Magnificent. It'll pass and you'll feel all better. Good news coming from Lee in New York, who says, "I got my second Fauci ouchie. The trend here in New York City is fewer cases and fewer deaths." And that is, in fact, exciting and encouraging. Now all we have to do is not screw it up. And because I am a little ray of sunshine, well, here you go. Headline. Oh, dear. Indian COVID-19 variant found in U.S. across globe as foreign help arrives in India. It's been detected in the U.S., 18 other countries and territories, adding to a growing roster of evolutionary spin-offs of the virus that scientists and health authorities are keeping under close observation. We'll know this one as B.1.617. And it hasn't had nearly the study time that some of the other variants have had. Geez. Poor India. Burning up with COVID. You know, because capitalism. Why not? Exactly. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy just got us started toward getting yesterday wiped out. Keep your damn hands off my 3 pounds of red meat, Biden. COVID is fake. Wake up, sheeple. I know. Thank you, Jeremy. Biden can have my meat when he pries it from my cold. No, that's up there with the sausage grinding comment last night. No. So, 555 now to come up even with the end of the week and this day and moving toward the end of the month. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Where we begin? We begin this evening almost always begin lately. Robin! Gray days. It was on this day in 2011 that former President Obama released his long-form birth certificate from the U.S. state of Hawaii in an effort to quell the birther conspiracy theorists led by Donald J. Trump and supported eagerly by his spouse, Melanoma J. Trump. Well, no, I don't know. Probably not. Why not? And Jeffrey's got the skinny on it. Yes, I really believe when President Obama released that certificate, this only unleashed the rage in Donald Trump that inspired Trump to seek a birth in the White House. Oy. And speaking of presidential births, it was on this day in 1822 that the great general and 18th president, General Ulysses S. Grant, was born in Point Pleasant, Ohio. His real name was apparently not Ulysses S. Grant. It was Hiram Ulysses Grant. But we don't... Ulysses S. Grant worked better during the Civil War because the U.S. could be said to stand for United States, or, more importantly, unconditional surrender, because that's what he became famous for. He worked hard to stabilize the economy, Grant did, as president, while trying to reunite the country during a strong push for Reconstruction. However, a guy by the name of Joe Macho Manchin was right there to invoke the filibuster, which eventually derailed the economy and the better parts of the Reconstruction. No. Hold on, Giraffe. No. Neither Joe Macho Man Chin nor any of his family were around about back during that time. They were still somewhere in Italia. But Jeffrey does make a good point, because the filibuster was invented in the 1850s to specifically delay or block legislation. Also not necessarily true. It was a thing in the House much earlier. The term filibuster came from the Dutch, and the word filibuster means to pirate, as it is often the case when one party wants to steal the rights of the other party's ability to pass legislation on the Senate floor. Jeffrey does make some excellent points, though. And he did use the word derail, because the railroad strikes were imminent in the latter part of the Grant presidency and finally erupted in earnest during the Rutherford-Hayes presidency. Rutherford-Hayes. He was the first president to lose the popular vote, but still somehow or another become president of the United States. You know that story. In Congress, they negotiated away the Reconstruction and the withdrawal of federal troops from the occupied treasonous South in exchange for Hayes becoming president. Yes, the Great Railroad Strike of 1877, sometimes known as the Great Upheaval, started in Martinsburg, West Virginia, after the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad cut worker wages for the third time in a year, this stalling a solid economy that President Grant had fostered along. Jeffrey, however, being an intellectually engaging giraffe, says it was this week back in 2009 that the U.S. declared the swine flu a public health emergency, responding to what health officials were fearing was the beginning of a global pandemic. Other nations had imposed travel bans or made plans to quarantine air travelers if more cases of swine flu had been confirmed. Experts were not sure how dangerous the new H1N1 flu strain would be, but several countries, including the United States, were preparing for a potential pandemic had the virus mutated into a more lethal strain. And therein lies the difference between having a responsible, capable adult as a president when a pandemic strikes, as opposed to an ignorant, childish idiot or lout. Thanks to leaders like Obama, the potential pandemic of the swine flu, H1N1, turned out to be a wait for it. Oh, dear. Again, thanks to leaders like Obama and their preparedness for the potential pandemic. But fortunately, the swine flu turned out to be more of a swine fluke. Oh, it is a weary llama that raises its head for that one. I don't remember having to wear a mask or having to social distance 12 years ago. Oh, that's right. We did not have to, because we had a real president in the White House back then, unlike the swine president, pig-like puke of fluke that replaced the 44th president. And Jeffrey's correct. Good job, Jeffrey. That was some excellent presidential punditry. It was 2015 on the 27th day of April that Freddie Gray was laid to rest. As most of you remember, Freddie Gray was a black man who died from a severe spinal injury he suffered in police custody. Rioters plunged part of Baltimore into chaos, torching a pharmacy and setting police cars on fire and throwing bricks at officers hours after thousands attended his funeral. Jeffrey has the re-riot. Get it? Re-riot. Due to the upheaval of the day, the Baltimore Orioles played their baseball game in their gray uniforms in front of a crowd of zero fans for fear of rioters coming in from the ballpark, coming into the ballpark and attempting to, don't wait for this one, they were afraid the game versus the Chicago White Sox would have no fans because they might try to steal all the bases, the rioters. Oh, dear God. By the way, Jeffrey's last remarks were not based in any way on any facts. Finally, it was 1994 on this day when Richard Nixon was laid to rest in a lead-lined toxic waste vault in Yorba Linda, California, at what is now known as the Nixon Library. No, I made up the part about the lead line. Billable Rick was seen giving the one-finger salute as he was passing by the Nixon Library on his way to work this morning. Ironically, Billable discovered just how bad Nixon really was when he was a college student at Northwestern and took a poli-sci class taught by none other than Nixon's opponent, George McGovern. And that's real. This has been Joey's Journal for Tuesday, the 27th day of April, with Jeffrey believing that a man named McGovern would be a great McGovern professor. But of course, and there's a $10 more McGovernment challenge on the table from Jeffrey and Joey. Thank you very, very kindly. And hopefully that gets met, and that'll take us down a little further. I had a note from Ralphs. I'll kick in $28 in honor of your 28th anniversary this coming Saturday. Hopefully others will contribute 28 as well. Hugs. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. That'd be wonderful. So there's a $28 matching challenge out there. And many thanks to Ralphs for it. That would get us down to, my goodness, 28 and 28 is 56. And, well, that'd get us down below $500 for the evening. That'd be wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very, very much, Ralphs. Cruel Ironies Department, Flavio says, India makes all of our generic medicines, including vaccines, because we can't afford the brand name sticker prices of the pharma giants. Now they can't even vaccinate their own people because the big pharma companies won't allow emergency waiver of patents. Yeah, I noticed one of the stories that came across the wire had to do with, was it Bill Gates saying that he did not support waiving those patents so that poorer countries could have greater access to life-saving vaccines. But the United States is finally sending some vaccines abroad because we can't seem to get people to take them here. Goodness gracious. If it gets worse, and as noted on the program earlier, or toward the end of the program last night, lo and behold, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice is offering money that isn't his in the form of a $100 savings bond, which is going to take at least 5 years to mature. Who knows? Maybe 20. I don't know. To any 18 to 35-year-old who will take the damn vaccine. And this state being this state, it would not be at all surprising. Hey, wait a minute. They said I was going to get $100. Well, it's $100 in a few years. Does that even keep up with inflation? To the extent that there's still inflation? It reminded me, what was the prize for winning the Gong Show? What was it, $39.16 or something like that? Well, who knows? Maybe there's an old fan in the justice, injustice, maladministration. I know. Be careful, says Jeremy in Vermont. I can't wait to grind my own sausage. You're still giving it legs, and I'm still laughing. Well, that's good to know. I'm not alone. I've been giggling myself. Oh, dear God. We have a statement from the 45th President of the United States that just landed.
What used to be called the Academy Awards.
We didn't even talk about the Oscars last night. Not that there was much of anything to talk about, but...
What used to be called the Academy Awards, and now it's called the Oscars.
We do know how far back calling it the Oscars goes, and no, it hasn't been formally changed. Jesus, this is a stupid man. The term Oscar comes from an actor. Maybe it was Mary Pickford or Clara Bow. I mean, that far back, saying that the statuette, why, that looks like my Uncle Oscar. And they just became, thereafter, the Oscars.
A far less important and elegant name. Had the lowest television ratings in recorded history.
The former president of the United States is out there, because it's Titanic Tuesday, and, well, this fits, busying himself with the ratings of an awards show that doesn't even matter.
If they keep with the current ridiculous formula, it will only get worse, if that's possible. Go back 15 years, look at the formula they then used, change the name back to the Academy Awards, don't be so politically correct and boring, and do it right. Also bring back a great host. I would be a great host. No, I added that part. These television people spend all their time thinking about how to promote the Democrat Party, which is destroying our country. And cancel conservatives and Republicans. That formula certainly hasn't worked very well for the Academy.
I'm not making that up. Apparently the drugs aren't working, or maybe they are. He could just be Adderall'd completely out of his damn tree.
The radical left Democrat Party has gone absolutely insane in fighting the forensic audit of the 2020 presidential election scam right now taking place in the great state of Arizona.
That's the scam. These bizarre, sad, sorry, pathetic, twisted, weird-ass freaks gathered together with and trying to audit ballots and probably changing them along the way.
They know they lost Arizona and other scam election states in a landslide. They also know the Arizona State Legislature approved virtually none of their many election requests, which is totally unconstitutional. The people of Arizona are very angry, as are the people of our country.
Which kind of goes back to the look that I got when I picked up the Trump 2020 koozie and said, well, not much use for this anymore. Yeah.
The audit must continue.
And then, what an odd and uncomfortable place to be, to find oneself in the position of almost nearly having to kind of, sort of, defend Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney is polling so low in Wyoming and has so little support, even from the Wyoming Republican Party, that she's looking for a way out of her congressional race. Based on all polling, there's no way she can win. She'll either be yet another lobbyist or maybe embarrass her family by running for president in order to save face. The warmongering fool wants to stay in the Middle East and Afghanistan for another 19 years, but doesn't consider the big picture, Russia and China.
You know, one of the most pathetic things about it, the Republican Party recently went after Liz Cheney again. And really, it's one of those situations, it's kind of like having, Notre Dame, whom I despise, playing, another team that I despise. Having Notre Dame play Notre Dame, and you can't decide which one you want to lose more. But you don't want either one to win. Liz Cheney fighting it out with the so-called leadership of the Republican Party is an absolutely delightful exercise in anticipation, happy anticipation. Of seeing who's going to hurt worse. And hoping along the way that both of them are absolutely immiserated by the contest. the fact that a bunch of pasty-faced, doughy, old white men couldn't find the cojones to stand up to Nitwit Nero, but she did, and she did it again, and this is what's got Nitwit Nero's in a bunch. Because somebody asked her, well, if Trump was the nominee in 2024, would you support him? And she said, no. Dick Cheney in a bad wig said, no. Yeah. And that got them all up in a dither all over again. Yeah. And she will probably win her primary in Wyoming because because the maggots can't get their shit together, and there's a whole bunch of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs Looney Tunes who will cancel each other out, and she'll still be standing, and Wyoming is not going to send some even milk toastly mild centrist Democrat when they could send, you know, five deaf dicks. Daughter to the dance. God. He's such a fun guy. Fun guy, mushroom. See what I did there? Right? Yeah. Yeah, from Wikipedia, the Academy officially adopted the name Oscar for the trophies in 1939. However, the origin of the nickname is disputed. One biography of Betty Davis says it was she who named the award after her first husband, bandleader Harmon Oscar Nelson. Then there's Margaret Herrick, the Academy Executive Secretary, who, when she first saw the award in 1931, said the statuette reminded her of Uncle Oscar, a nickname for her cousin Oscar Pierce. Thank you for all of that, Lee. That was what I remember. Why, it looks like my Uncle Oscar. And it was neither Mary Pickford nor Clara Bow. But still, 1931 was a very long time ago.
I don't know why they started using that name.
You know, maybe he's just remembering his old Klansman daddy getting mad about it in 1931 or 1941. 45, Matt in San Francisco noting, he just mad that black and queer people were on TV winning awards, something with which he is unfamiliar. P.S., please let the social media ban continue for the rest of his pathetic life. I support that entirely. Yeah, there was all kinds of black and queer folk up there collecting statuettes.
We can't have that. My father would not have approved.
Exactly. He just mad. And Suman, God and politics in India. You said India was suffering a spike in COVID-19 because of capitalism. Nothing wrong with that. But the real problem is God and politics. The administration freely allowed big gatherings for religious festivals and political rallies while restricting access to farmers markets. By big, I'm not referring to thousands. Rather, I'm referring to hundreds of thousands. And now they're cracking down on media reporting on the spread of the virus. It's frustrating as hell. Well, thank you for that update, Suman. Well, it sounds downright American, doesn't it? Can't touch the religion industry because, well, they'll get people all worked up against you. And when you're a fascist like Narendra Modi, you know, fascists always ally themselves with the religion industry because the religion industry is a natural ally and colleague of authoritarian dictatorship. And you can find examples of this throughout history. The Roman Catholic Church got down and wallowed around with the Benito Mussolini. And the guy who's now Pope said he was deeply conflicted, but yes, his version of the Roman Catholic Church in Argentina. Well, they got the real cuddly with the dictatorship of the generals and the admirals, and people found themselves learning to fly without wings from helicopters. They'd be anesthetized and knocked out and then thrown into the ocean because religion, and we wonder why I despise it. Jeff Tiedrich over on Twitter, this via Flavio. First, they came for your hamburgers, and I did not speak out. Because nobody's coming for your hamburgers, you stupid fucking whiny, paranoid, attention-seeking, performative nonsense grievance babies. That's a great line. Stupid fucking whiny, paranoid, attention-seeking, performative nonsense grievance babies. That's all and then more so. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Frank in Iowa. Gone but not forgotten. How about a Rush update? Well, I'm glad you asked. I hate to forget that kind of important piece of information on any given broadcast. But yes, here on the 27th day of April, 2021, well, Rush Limbaugh, America's truth detector, the man with talent on loan from God, with half his brain tied behind his back, or now pickled in a jar, is still dead. So too is Benito Mussolini. Sick-tempered Tyrannus and all that. Oh, the Gong Show prize. Thank you, Bill and PA. It was $516.32. I remember that show. My uncle got gonged when he appeared as Super Eddie. You know, he damned. Chuck Barris. Later alleged to have been a CIA agent in a delightfully just zany little movie many years back. $516.32. Well, you know, $32.16 isn't that far off. I just forgot the 500 part. Now, by God, people might line up for 500 bucks. I mean, that'll buy you something. But, you know, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice. He really doesn't understand what $100 is or $10 is or $1,000 because he's a billionaire. Yeah. Wait a minute. I was talking about Argentina. And Jeremy in Vermont says, the Flying Nun wasn't just a stupid thing show. Sorry, I'll leave now. Yeah, let yourself out, Jeremy. Too soon. And so that takes care of a good deal of the stuff coming in this evening. And now, well, now it's time to check in with, I had this as a nominee from yesterday, but it qualifies as Titanic intellect as well, and perhaps even better. The man who gave us the idea and pumped it into the public consciousness that if two guys were allowed to get married or two women were allowed to get married, that it would lead to public couplings between human beings and animals in the streets. The phrase he particularly referenced was man-on-dog sex. Yeah, I'm talking about Rick Sanctum Santorum. Santorum having been redefined to a particularly odious descriptor. I'll leave that. I'm not going to go after dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Not today. No, it's too pretty outside. He was speaking to the Young Americans Foundation. That's one of those wingnut welfare outfits for young wingnuts who know that they're never going to be otherwise employable. And that's and we got this.
If you think about this country, I don't know of any other country in the world that was settled predominantly by people who were coming to practice their faith.
Well, there's the first lie. This country was not predominantly settled by people who were coming to practice their faith. He's talking about the religious maniacs, the Puritans in what is now Massachusetts, who were the Christian equivalent of the Taliban. And I got a story along dealing with them here in a minute that we do need to get into. As long as I don't get sidetracked. I mean, the Virginia colony didn't come here to practice their faith. They came here to find gold. The Georgia colony was English transportation of various and sundry felons. Some of that took place in the Carolinas as well. South Carolina and North Carolina were not settled for purposes of religious faith. Now, granted, Maryland was set up to be a haven for Roman Catholics. Pennsylvania did have an element of Quakerism in its founding. Pennsylvania, William Penn's Woods, Penn's Forest. And in the case of both the Puritans and the Catholics and the Quakers, curiously, they were all disfavored faiths in Merry Old England. But New York certainly wasn't settled for purposes of religious freedom. That was the Dutch looking for a buck. And so that leaves us, well, let's see, Rogues Island, that had a religious element. But it's not quite what Rick Sanctum Sanctorum makes it out to be. And it's only going to get worse. So you might want to get the hockey puck.
World that was settled predominantly by people who were coming to practice their faith. They came here because they were not allowed to practice their particular faith in their own country. And so they came here mostly from Europe.
Which country? I mean, England? Okay, yeah. The English crown was ill-turned toward anything that wasn't the Church of England. But where else? I mean, Delaware, the Swedes tried to settle Delaware, and they weren't actually aching for religious freedom. No. And the Germans? No. Well, I mean, kind of, because you've got the Anabaptists and the like. Maybe he's a little righter than wronger. Never mind, it's still, this isn't even the salient point of the clip.
And they set up a country that was based on Judeo-Christian principles. When I say Judeo-Christian, the Mosaic laws.
Yeah, the Mosaic laws, you know, when you're going to make a mosaic, there are laws. And you know, it all has to do with how you place the little ceramic chips on the floor to make the picture of, I don't know, Leda and the swan or Persephone exiting Hades in the underworld or what. There are laws about mosaics. No. This poor damn fool is still out there prating something from late in the last century and early into this one, namely that they wanted to set, and maybe, okay, so the Puritans might have wanted to set up a rule of law where things like stonings and public whippings and dunkings took place, because those are all real, and hangings. There weren't any burnings of the witches at Salem, but there were some hangings, and there was at least one pressing. Anyway, do continue. Former senator and presidential candidate, Rick Man-on-Dog Sanctum Sanctorum.
Ten Commandments and the teachings of Jesus Christ, the moral and teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what our founding documents are based upon.
Actually, they're not. The organizing principles of the Iroquois Confederacy are more to be found extant in the Constitution than are the Decalogue. There is nothing in the Constitution about honoring one's mother and father, or honoring the Sabbath to keep it holy, or only worshiping one God above all others. I mean, you'd think if it was the organizing principle behind our legal system, you'd actually see evidence of it. But it's not there. Titanic intellect. And as far as Jesus is concerned, no, I'd say not. That whole put up thy sword into his place, for those that live by the sword, die by the sword, That didn't quite make it into the draft of the Second Amendment, now did it?
It's in our DNA. You know, if you think of other countries like Italy and Greece and China and Turkey and places like that, they've all sort of changed over time.
Really? They've changed over time? Rick Sanctum Santorum, I think, is talking about the fact that institutions evolve as well as living organisms. I'll say China's changed over time. My goodness gracious. Look at all the dynasties. And look at the search for leadership via the favor of heaven. Yeah, China's changed. In fact, the word we use, China, only speaks to one out of many different peoples. The state of Qin. There were other states. It's just that China was the Qin dynasty was more brutal and repressive and wound up on top. Yeah, Italy, yeah, they've changed. I mean, once upon a time, the Etruscans held sway, and then, by God, long came the Greeks, and then the Romans rose up, and then the church got invented, and Western civilization collapsed in a religious frenzy, and then we had the Dark Ages, and let's don't get started on Greece. Probably wouldn't mention Persia because, Persia was civilized when the Santorum family were still scrounging around fighting against the weasels for what the buzzards didn't want. And imagine that Rick Sanctum Santorum is standing there telling this to impressionable young children. This is the danger that is borne out by the phrase, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Because Rick Sanctum Santorum has very little knowledge. And years and years and years ago, I participated along, Dr. Bill put it together, but I had the privilege of participating in a program he created to help school teachers who taught history learn what history actually was. And my God, I remember that the teachers there who wanted to teach that Adam and Eve sailed a rowboat over to America and went to Sunday school on the back of a dinosaur, and then prayed the Constitution into, oh my God, it's pathetic. And that passes for education in more places than just West Virginia. China changing, Matt asks. Is he arguing evolution? I think he's evolved on the issue. No, he wasn't descended from no monkey. Now, this is odious and this is disgusting, but the grab the bucket part of the clip is fast approaching.
If you think of other countries like Italy and Greece and China and Turkey and places like that, they've all sort of changed over time. I mean, they've been there for millennia in many cases, and their culture has sort of evolved over time.
Oop, the word.
But not us. We came here and created a blank slate. We birthed a nation.
Birth of a Nation was, of course, one of the earliest and most famous and historical films. It was a big deal. D.W. Griffith, the white supremacist, racist president, Woodrow Wilson, was so enamored of it that he had it screened in the White House. Birth of a Nation came from a book that was originally simply titled The Klansman, in which the Klansman is the good guy. Really? Birthed a Nation. birthed a nation.
From nothing. I mean, there was nothing here. I mean, yes.
There was nothing here, okay? Okay, this is the one of the filthiest lies of the colonization of the Western Hemisphere. There was nothing here. Nobody here. And Rick Sanctum Santorum does not know that the Western Hemisphere was more densely populated than Africa, Asia, and China, or Africa, Asia, and Europe combined at the time. And more successfully populated. North America and South America. Vast civilizations existing and building causeways and roadways through the immense density of the Amazon rainforest and into the mountains of the Andes and on the coastal plains of Chile, Peru, Ecuador. The city at Cahokia that had tens of thousands of residents and was part of a civilizational complex that stretched from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico and was all accomplished without the first draft animal, just human ingenuity. And all of those Italians and Greeks and whatnot that came up, yeah, they had no knowledge of maize. You call it corn. None whatsoever. And that's one of the things that changes on this planet with what's called the Columbian Exchange. The dirty white Europeans brought their filth and their diseases and some iron and copper pots and took an array of food items that would literally change the way the world ate and lived and, in fact, cause a population explosion in places like China. The sweet potato. Maize, squash, pumpkins. I told the story before about sitting in that Afghan restaurant in Washington, D.C., and seeing that the national dish of Afghanistan is made with a pumpkin. And knowing as I do the long history of that region, it sort of fascinated me that the national dish of Afghanistan couldn't possibly have been the national dish of Afghanistan for much more than 400 years or so. Because the pumpkin didn't get there until 400 years or so ago. They must have loved them some pumpkin. But hey, who doesn't love pumpkin pie? But apparently it changed the way that Afghan people looked at food. It's going to get worse.
We have Native Americans, but candidly, that there isn't much Native American culture in American culture.
There isn't much Native American culture in American culture. Hey, Rick, what's the name of the river that flows by the national capital? Is that the Santorum River, you dick? Is Potomac an old Sardinian word? How about Susquehanna? You're from fucking Pennsylvania, you goddamn needle dick little moron. Yeah, that's not a European word. Not much in Native American culture in American culture. Sitting there in his slave-built mansion at Monticello, Thomas Jefferson, our first rapist president, wrote that one of the most beautiful pieces of oratory he had ever been privileged to read was in the form of Logan's Lament, in which a man sick unto death of war says he will have no more of it. That was the result of bloody conflict right here in what would become West Virginia, and it spread across the Ohio River. Again, not a European culture word. Ohio has something to do, I'm told, with the concept of beauty. And it belongs to West Virginia. The Ohio River, the part of it that flows past West Virginia. Did you know that? Yeah. Ohio doesn't own any portion of the Ohio River. Ohio only starts when you get to the Ohio side of the Ohio River. That's probably why we've dumped so much shit into it over the years. Well, it's ours. We can fuck it up if we want to. No native, candidly, no, not much native culture in American culture. Sitting Bull, anybody? Crazy Horse? Cochise? Or God knows the tremendous number of indigenous people who fought on the side of the invading colonizers from Massachusetts and Virginia forward. One of them is buried in Congressional Cemetery in Washington, D.C., because of the vital assistance that he provided in attempting to put down his own people, and was praised for his genius and his geniality in selling out his own. It's one thing to be ignorant. It is another, as we talked last night, to be stupid. This is stupid. And wallowing in it. Yeah. People in the Americas had no help, Lee in New York points out. Have you not seen the lines at Nazca? It was aliens. Probably illegal aliens. Yeah, a lot of money to be made on that. How could they ever lay there? How could they? It's just Indians. I know they patiently worked for 10,000 years to develop maize from a little piece of grass you would never recognize as corn, but oh well. And I guess we're blipping and burping merrily along the way in the broadcast this evening. 5:11, 5:14. Mm-hmm. Let's see, the Tennessee River. How about that? Kentucky. Kentucky River. Mississippi. And on and on and on. The names live on to this day in languages that may well have been deliberately exterminated and eradicated. But, you know, Rick Santorum speaking to a group of young fools, young idiots, because the Republican Party is desperate to try to maintain some sort of base in the future when, in fact, they are nothing but a bunch of giant ground sloths and mastodons and the like, trapped in the tar pit of history and knowing that they're going to sink and disappear from view forever and screaming for all they're worth on the way into the muck. Pinson Mounds in southwest Tennessee. 2,000 structures that was a city. And we haven't even crossed the Rio Grande. The people of the Triple Alliance who had running water and flush toilets that positively fascinated and dizzied the Spanish invading conquerors. People who bathed on the daily. And asked the Spaniards, well, wouldn't you like to have a bath? You don't smell particularly. No, 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 we won't be bathing today. The church has taught us that that can allow demons into our system. peoples who saw not a man in the moon, but a rabbit in the moon. I thought about that last night as I ran outside to see the rising so-called pink supermoon. It was dramatic, to say the least. But a rabbit. Next time there's a big, broad, full moon, go outside, see if you see the rabbit. The rabbit is there. Come on, says Jeremy. Adam and Eve? It was Adam and Steve, for fuck's sake. Eve came from Adam's rib. And that was some rib God played on Adam. Okay. Yeah, just ribbing you, Adam. Santorum, says Clarence, formerly of Philly and now of South Carolina and parts elsewhere on the road. Santorum is a moron. You're right on point about Susquehanna. Pennsylvania has a massive amount of counties and townships with native names. I travel this country every day, and I cannot go too far without seeing a native name on a road sign. Tishomingo, Itawamba. Mm-hmm. Alabama. Well, at least Georgia's not a native name. That was named after King fucking George. As was the Carolinas, named after some English royal. Indiana? Really? Indiana? Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But don't anybody try to tell Bro Fromix here.
I mean, there's nothing here. I mean, yes, we have Native Americans, but candidly, that there isn't much Native American culture in American culture. It was born of the people who came here pursuing religious liberty to practice their faith, to live as they ought to live, and have the freedom to do so. Religious
liberty. Wow, we could spend a couple of hours on live as they ought to live, couldn't we? Were they living as they ought to live when they committed a genocide against the indigenous people here? Were they living as they ought to live when they took the concept of slavery and made it worse by far than it had ever existed anywhere on this planet? Living as they ought to live. And one of the most amazing things about all of this is that this guy makes the long walk to the computer keyboard every week or two and sees a check from CNN for being a political opinion contributor. I don't know about you, but to the extent that he was talking to young people, I think this is child abuse. I think deliberately lying about the origins of this country and erasing entire cultures and histories is a form of intellectual child abuse. Rick the Dick, Matt in San Francisco. And to think they pay this guy millions to pontificate on CNN. Why do we have a need to push the idiots to the microphone? The equally stupid people at home watching wouldn't be able to come to these crazy beliefs without this great Rick to lead them. And a little mind will lead them. Well, you know, we're just making sure that both sides are heard. This is both-siderism. You know, one side says, you know, the history of the Western Hemisphere after the arrival of white people is a complicated history of conflict and aggression. And he said, no, Jesus. And again, you know, he used the Judeo-Christian. I don't know. If I was practicing on the Judeo half of this, I'd be looking at Rick Santorum and go, hold on, bub. We weren't out there genociding the Shawnee, the Pawnee, the Blackfoot, the Crow. the Apache, the Cheyenne, the Sioux, the Chickasaw, the Choctaw, the Cherokee. That wasn't us, bub. Yeah, no. I'm still on my ice-cold water kick. Oh, let's have him wrap up. I'm ready to move on.
Liberty. Those are the two bulwarks.
Wait, liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. Woo!
Bulwarks of America. Faith and freedom. I mean, you hear it all the time about faith and freedom, faith and freedom. But it is...
I don't know. I don't hear faith and freedom, faith and freedom, faith and freedom. But then again, I'm not listening to the voices that are shrieking inside the skull of Rick Santorum. And which he mistakes for, I don't know, Jesus or something. Yeah, wait a second, Jeremy asks. Did Bro Fro Mix really just claim that the native culture came here from people who weren't born on this side of the planet? Yes, he did. Wasn't much culture here. Wasn't much culture. There's not much native culture in American culture. Not much. Very little. Stupid bastard. And, you know, we can do that. We can say, yeah, stupid bastard. But it's so much more than that. Yeah. This is the continuing erasure of entire cultures. I'm guessing that Bro Fromix has never so much as met a single person who identifies as part of an indigenous culture. Because that indigenous culture that isn't much part of American culture is in many ways the only reason there is an American culture, to the extent that there's an American culture. Those worthless, idiotic, stupid, religiously insane, or else driven by greed white folks who showed up on these shores could not have survived, would have starved to death. Except for the fact that there were indigenous cultures that taught that you don't let people who are starving just die. And those indigenous cultures had you know, 10,000 years worth of understanding of how to live in this part of the planet. And they passed it along, much to their enduring chagrin. Eesh. Ingrate. And so I said that I had a Taliban story. And I do. And it comes to us, the event that is part of this and was reported on by Agence France-Presse, and, you know, the Taliban are religious maniacs of the sort that Rick Santorum wishes he could have here, where we take out those filthy Protestants and filthy atheists and burn them at the stake like Holy Mother Church wanted. Steve wants to know, what exactly was Bro Fro Mix's purpose? Was he trying to say that anyone is prohibiting people of faith from practicing their faith? No, Steve, this is an installment in the ongoing rewrite of American history as some sort of exercise in religious fundamentalism. All those deists who wrote the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, who really had no God that they worshiped, didn't particularly have a thing for going to church, because they sorted out that, well, there may be a God or something, but we don't know what it is. And there's Thomas Jefferson. The things he found time to do sitting around editing the New Testament and taking all the magic and malarkey and baloney out of it and leaving a sort of existential Jesus wandering around. It drives the white wing crazy because they need the religion industry, as noted earlier, being right-wing authoritarian fascists, they need the religion industry as an ally to obtain and maintain a death grip on power. So they preach this silly, ignorant crap as a means of trying to extend it into the next generations. I don't know what the age group is for the Young America Foundation, Young America's Foundation. Hell, I'm still trying to figure out the grammar of the name. It's Young, Y-O-U-N-G, America's, A-M-E-R-I-C-A, apostrophe S, possessive, Young America's Foundation. I'm pretty sure that Young America does not control the Young America's Foundation, but that's neither here nor there. But the early history, and frankly extending into the last century and into this one for that matter, was a history of extrajudicial slaughter. I mentioned Salem, but it happened elsewhere. I've talked before about Ann Royal, who was put on trial in Washington, D.C. as a common scold and found guilty. And only at the last minute was her sentence of being dunked in the Potomac River, which would have killed her. Only at the last minute was that commuted, because she had so thoroughly exposed the hypocrisy of her accusers that it was impossible to ignore it. Hell, public executions were a thing up into the early 20th century. We still invite witnesses when we murder someone in the name of any given state or in the name of the United States. We have observers who sit and watch someone have their life taken from them by the government. Faith and freedom, faith and liberty. And so when we, this story that I have here, Agence France-Presse published, it only took 80 seconds for two men to rain down 40 lashes on the woman huddled on her knees as a large crowd looked on and did nothing. I added the "and did nothing" part. The video of the brutal sentence carried out on an Afghan woman was filmed near Herat and posted on Facebook on April 13th. Curious, the timing. It is a painful reminder of the continued operation of Taliban courts, even though they have been banned. For our observer, it also symbolizes the failure of the Afghan government. The footage came from late 2020. The date range somewhere around April 15th. The video was first posted online on April 13th. The governor of Herat saying, "No, it's real. It really happened." The whipping of the woman took place in Haftgola, near Herat in Obay district of Afghanistan. And a nasty old man with a white beard in the video footage leads the woman, who is covered up in one of those hateful fucking beekeeper suits, into a circle of local men who are there to watch her be beaten. And in the video, one of the judges from the Taliban leads her into the center of the group of men. And then, as noted, 80 seconds, two men laid down 40 lashes on the woman, beating her within an inch of her life. These elders, these men, she covered head to toe to hide the disgusting nature of her femaleness. In the video, she cries out, "I repent. It's my fault. I made a mistake." In what? I don't know, Pashtun? And it's disgusting. And there's a vast crowd of people gathered around to watch this woman's immiseration. And I'm suspicious. I read this story, and it made all my little, it made up my spidey sense completely tingle. Because I wondered why it popped onto social media on April 13th and was confirmed on April 15th. Why would that be? Especially since it was video from 2020. Could it be because President Biden has said we are once and for all going to get the fuck out of Afghanistan? And could it be that it's because in the aftermath of that, the usual suspects, Republicans, "Well, we can't leave Afghanistan. Oh, that'll mean all the people who died in Afghanistan died in vain. We got to have more people die in vain to make sure that the other people who died in vain didn't die in vain." And see, that's what there's just going to be like this. All women are going to be getting beaten. Women are going to be getting killed. People are going to get their heads lopped off. There's only one problem. The video is from 2020. It's never really stopped in some parts of Afghanistan. And while I am pro-peace, I think there is a rather obvious answer to this question. Send a special forces group in, kidnap a few of these beards, and then invite some Afghan women to mete out justice to them. And watch these vulgar old beards learn the meaning of the ancient Greek term Minod. I mean, it was curiously enough, it was a couple of weeks ago when this stuff was first hitting the airwaves that lo and behold, they had people on My Filthy Morning Habit talking about how, well, you know, I guess more awful shit's going to happen to women now that we're leaving Afghanistan. It was already happening. And frankly, we didn't do much to stop it. Because we couldn't do much to stop it. The only way you can really stop it is to go in and put a bullet in the head of the people beating the women and say, "We're going to keep putting bullets in heads of people beating women until you stop beating the women." Can you learn? Next. Because, you know, we tried hellfire missiling some wedding parties, otherwise known as property transfers, where a woman goes from being the property of her father to being the property of her husband. Because that, of course, is the origin of marriage, especially in the Abrahamic religions. That see women as property. But, you know, they beat her into a sense of submission. But all along here, I haven't even mentioned what it was she was being beaten for. That's a mistake on my part, and I apologize. They seized the woman, covered her in a filthy beekeeper suit, led her into a circle of people who were unwilling to do a goddamn thing about it because they agree with it. because they are barbarians, and I mean, that's a tough word, but, you know, how else do you describe this behavior? The Taliban court shows up in the district of Obey on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and apparently have done so with impunity. And when and what they do is when they get there on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, I guess they're circuit riders and they're somewhere else on Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. The locals come up with a list of people that have pissed them off, and almost without fail, there's a bunch of women on it. And then they consider the case and they hand down sentence. And this is the kind of shit that was going on in Europe up until the last 200-400 years ago. If that far back, if not more recently. And in this case, the elders presented an accusation of this young woman, or this woman, I don't know what her age is. And she was judged and found guilty and beaten for the grievous crime of speaking to a man on a cell phone. Take a moment for that. They've got cell phone technology in Afghanistan, and it's used as evidence to impose punishments that have been meted out since, in case anybody is mumbling or grumbling about Islam, since long before Muhammad was even born. Back in 2015, the Taliban tribunal in Sarpol province imposed a judgment of stoning of a man and a woman who had been caught in adultery. And there was no brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi standing there to say, "He who is without the sin cast the first stone." They just cast the stones. By September 2020, in the province of Sarpol, another woman was murdered in the name of some twisted god worship. As the Observer report referenced by Agence France-Presse noted, all of the men who attended the whipping were ordinary citizens, just people who live in the area. Lots of Afghans, especially those in rural regions, support these tribunals. In many parts of Afghanistan, the government has zero presence. There's no court where you can go and file a complaint, and even when there is some kind of court, the judicial proceedings are long and expensive because you have to pay bribes so that someone actually works on your file. So unfortunately, the only alternative is a Taliban court, which also happens to be rapid and free. People turn to these type tribunals and find solutions for their conflicts, and that builds legitimacy. The Taliban then impose their rules. The first victims of this system are women. And hey, not to put too fine a point on it, but we have had nearly 20 goddamn years to sort this out. Did we? Nah. Moreover, the Afghan government's inaction makes these tribunals even more powerful. The men who officiate over these so-called trials feel untouchable, and they are. The authorities have never arrested or even questioned anyone in connection to these tribunals. It's as if it's totally accepted, as if the government divided the country in two, one part that the government controls and another where the Taliban are in charge with their own rules. Well, that'll get sorted out fairly quickly, because the one half of the country will not be in the Afghan government's control. It'll all be Taliban. And they will bring the leadership of the Afghan government into that same dirty, dusty circle and lop them heads right off for being collaborators with the great Satan, America. A woman named Farkanda was murdered outright, accused falsely of burning a copy of the Quran, and they killed her for it, and then they burned her body. You know, to make sure that she wouldn't get 72 virgins or something in the afterlife. And meanwhile, in the so-called negotiations between the United States and the Afghan Taliban, we negotiate these women's lives away. They put posters on the streets now that tell women they have to wear beekeeper suits. It's awful. And this stuff is used to by some as a reason to say that we should continue to stay there. But we tried hard. It might be a matter of not trying in the right places. Kind of like when we invaded Iraq and we sent troops to guard the oil ministry but left the antiquities ministry unguarded. And the multi-millennia heritage of Iraq was scattered to dust on the hard floors of the museums as precious, irreplaceable records of times gone by that were made of hard-baked mud brick were shattered on those floors. We have spent almost $1 trillion on Afghanistan. Imagine if we'd spent those $1 trillion on something besides bullets and bombs. Because in the 20 years that we've spent those $1 trillion, we have virtually no statistics whatsoever on the number of women who have been tormented, tortured, and killed by these old barbarian beards. And one thing is for sure. With the United States or without the United States, Afghanistan will continue to live in darkness. Because the one thing that speaks more loudly to whether or not a country will be successful is the degree to which women have autonomy over their own lives. And that simply does not exist in a, what's the word I'm looking for, a phrase I'm looking for, shithole country like Afghanistan. And mob mentality can take place anywhere at any time. It's obviously in place on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays in Obay province. I guess the old beards come with some AK-47s or, hey, maybe some American military weapons cradled in their arms in case anybody decides to get froggy. You remember back in the heady days of George W. Bush's invasion of Afghanistan when it turned out that we put a bounty on people who had helped the Taliban and helped Osama bin Laden and helped Al-Qaeda, it turned out that the neighbors would turn in their neighbors because they wanted the neighbors' land, and we'd come and kidnap the neighbors and stick a diaper on them and put them on a plane to Guantanamo Bay. Remember that? Because I remember that. Funny how we can't get anything right when we go on our little military adventures into other people's land. Yeah, awful shit happens to women in Pakistan and Saudi Arabia too, Flavio points out, but I don't see Republicans aching to invade Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. No, because they're our partners in peace. Jesus. And somehow or another, this loops back to there's not much in Native American culture in American culture. There were tribal societies in what is now the United States and other parts of the Western Hemisphere where men actually had to ask women for permission to go to war. Where women had equal rights. And then there's that Haudenosaunee Confederacy that I mentioned earlier. I mean, this is Titanic intellect, but it pisses me off. And I'm deeply suspicious that this is going to be used as some sort of an art. And you know, you'll hear it. You'll eventually hear it. You'll hear it on, well, maybe we'll have a clip or something because you've got better sense than to TV. Radio Rwanda. But they'll be talking, Joe Biden took us out of Afghanistan and now the women's is getting whooped. Yeah, they're getting whooped under Nitwit Nero, too. And under Barack Obama. And under George W. Bush. True enough. Earther says, by logic of preventing barbarism, we should invade the southern states before we invade the Levant or Central Asia. Got all worked up recently because, well, President Biden recognized the Armenian genocide. Anybody who isn't a Turkish apologist recognizes the Armenian genocide, primarily because the Armenian genocide is a real thing that actually happened. But what? What was the response of Erdogan to pointing out to Biden's having acknowledged the Armenian genocide? Trump's buddy Erdogan said, well, look how the United States treats black people and indigenous people. And it's true. It is sadly true. But at the very least, some portion of this country acknowledges how awfully we behaved. In Turkey's case, the official Turkish position is, well, you know, World War I was bad, and a lot of Turks and a lot of Armenians got killed, and that's terrible, but the Germans made us do it. Yeah. Oh, we blipped. Thanks for letting me know. Thanks for letting me know, Billable Rick. I don't know how much we missed there. Hopefully not a lot. But every time we criticize, and this is why if you're going to take the moral high ground, you really have to have some moral high ground to stand on. Every time we criticize human rights violations in another country, they look at us and say, yeah, but look what you did to the Indians. Yeah, but look what you did to people kidnapped from Africa and enslaved and forced to. Yes. Let me know when Afghanistan or Turkey gets a 13th Amendment. Not that that makes anything go away, but it means that, and this is sort of the participation trophy of culture and politics, at least we tried. We made some effort. Well, apparently Billable Rick caught it first, and I have remedied it, and we are ascending again. And maybe the way you handle it, and maybe Biden's the guy who can do it this way, is to say, yeah, we're going to acknowledge the Armenian genocide. And, hey, before we do that, we acknowledge the genocide that we tried to put, that we and our colonial forebears tried to perpetrate against the people who had this place before we got here, notwithstanding Rick Santorum declaring that they had no culture. Maybe that's how we do that. Okay. Like I said, Titanic intellect. I can't put my finger on it, Earther says, but what Rick Santorum is saying sounds so very, very, ever so slightly racist. Kind of makes sense, though. The natives didn't have Jesus, nor were their names written in the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life, given how hard it would have been to write them funny-sounding names in English. And we all know that God speaks English. And so now, as we are at the halfway point of the program, and thank you, Ralphs, for that kind matching offer. Ralphs asking people to kick in $28 in honor of the 28th anniversary of Agnes and I being all hitched up and everything. Thank you. As to Santorum, Lamar the Magnificent said, oh, please, Rick, opinions are assholes. Everyone has one, but some get paid for theirs. Rick Santorum does. Yeah. Randy in PA pointing out Afghanistan. The torment of women there is interesting, but the international community is more business-minded than that. There were three main objectives in Afghanistan: poppies that supply the pharma industry with opioids, a wanted oil pipeline from the Caspian Sea to a Pakistani seaport, and rare earth mineral resources for superconductors. A fourth, lithium ore, is a more common but still valuable resource. Oh, that story goes way, way back into the early part of this century. Somehow or another, we figured out that there were vast reserves of rare earth elements in Afghanistan, and by God, we didn't want the Chinese to have those. We're going to need those for our lithium-powered, battery-operated electric vehicle tanks. Humvees and shit. Yep, business-minded, Randy. Exactly. Exactly. And so that's the culture and history part of Titanic Tuesday. But hey, let's bring it into the present with a couple of stories of Titanic intellect. For one, let's see here. Yeah, there it is. Now, Joe Rogan has a lot more viewers and listeners than I ever will. And he's gotten that by promoting hateful, ugly, misogynistic, racist horse shit. Homophobic, too, along the way. There's a clip out there somewhere of Joe Rogan becoming wrought when he found out that Richard Pryor had sexual experiences with both men and women. Oh, man, it bummed me out. Well, now, this multimillionaire, you know, I kind of enjoyed him on news radio. I thought he was funny. But the Joe Rogan Experience, which is nothing like the Jimi Hendrix Experience, and have you been experienced, is a much different reference between the two. Well, Joe Rogan scientist is here to help you, young person, just in case you're thinking of getting that their vaccine that's all full of little liquid barcodes so Bill Gates can track you with the 5G. No, really. It's another hockey puck moment. Titanic Tuesdays often are.
And people say, do you think it's safe to get vaccinated? I've said, yeah, I think for the most part it's safe to get vaccinated. I do. But if you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I go, no.
Yeah.
Are you healthy? Are you a healthy person? Like, look, don't do anything stupid, but you should take care of yourself. You should, if you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, and like, I don't think you need to worry about this.
I don't think the COVID virus is much concerned with your diet. And yes, young people get it. And pay attention to the phrasing. Is it safe to get the vaccine? That's not the question. The question is not whether it's safe to get the vaccine. The question is it safe not to? If you don't get the vaccine, will you be okay? And the only answer you can give to that is, maybe. Or, just because you're 24 and think you're bulletproof, and you're part of Joe Rogan's core constituency up to about 40, maybe you'll be okay, maybe you won't. Maybe you don't get the vaccine and you go to some super spreader event and you stand around outside, no mask, no social distancing, and you LARP and smolik and gravelate all over each other, and you stand around butthole to belly button and breathe and hoot and bark and sing and carry on and shout and caterwaul, and maybe you get the COVID. Hey, maybe you get the groovy new Indian variant or the South African variant. Or the Los Angeles variant, or the British variant. And maybe you wind up horizontally crucified, even though you were eating well, and you were exercising, and you were taking care of yourself. Maybe you wind up getting horizontally crucified with a goddamn garden hose down your throat. And you lay there, and people can't even come and tell you goodbye, and somebody's crying, and you can hear it, you just can't do anything about it because you can't see, you can't talk, you can't move, but you can hear the crying on the FaceTime call because it's checkout time for you because you listened to Joe fucking Rogan tell you you didn't need the vaccine, youngin'. Here we go. Thanks to our buddy John in PA for sharing this. I mean, this guy has a following, a huge following, and he comes across it. Remember when everybody got all excited because Bernie had gone and done the Joe Rogan experience, and now, you know, all of Joe Rogan's followers were, and it didn't quite pan out that way. Because I remember that. And then people pointed out maybe somebody with progressive values shouldn't be going on the Joe Rogan experience because he's about as regressive as fuck. And that's the responsible answer. It's not, is it safe to take the vaccine? Jesus Christ, yes, it's safe to take the vaccine. AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, anything except the Putinka vaccine, Sputnik or what the fuck ever from Russia, because, well, that might have a little aquarium cleaner in it. You never know. Because Vlad Putin really doesn't much care. And one of the things that happens on this program, we make a joke out of, you know, Robin, stop telling us, or back before then, you know, Bob, stop telling us, to, because I don't give marching orders. Sometimes I'll ask for things. At the end of every program, I ask for people to please reach out to their member of Congress and ask them to sign on as a co-sponsor to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Community Emergency Act, the AIC Act, because literally it means the world in Appalachia. It's a matter of whether we have a future here or not. But I don't think anybody in this community tunes in to find out what they should think or what they should do. I hope the hell not. And, you know, you don't hesitate to tell me what's on your mind. I had a note from a pal of long standing. Hung like Jesus. You may have heard us talk, and Hung's even been on the program. But, you know, Hung didn't like the program last night. Said there were all kinds of crazy people, and we focused on Joe Manchin instead. Now, we didn't focus exclusively on Joe Manchin, but that's the way that Hung heard it. And that's okay. Can't be helped. And then along the way, you know, mentioned that, we have a Monday full of idiots and you spent the entire time talking about Joe Manchin. This is why I find the show hard to support anymore. Outside the clickishness and the having to raise $1,500 a week. Clickishness? Where's the fucking click? What are you running over there? Not to mention more money for your whatever it is, hard to even listen anymore. Money for my whatever. I guess Hung is under the see, and that's why I say, you know, anytime I mention issues relating to, you know, trans people, there's a certain element of this audience that gets pissed off. I guess Hung thinks that I'm raising money for breast augmentation and facial feminization surgery and God knows getting some new plumbing downstairs. Well, I'm not. What we try to raise here is what it takes to keep alive. To keep all of this going. And hopefully to make a few improvements. I referenced it the other day, or yesterday, in talking with Todd. I'm excited. We're going to have running water for the first time in maybe a decade. Because, well, we poured everything into keeping this going. And I squirreled away and squirreled away and squirreled away and squirreled away until I had enough to make some basic repairs to keep this place going. You know, keep the ancient wiring from burning this place to the ground. Running water, like I said. Because we're not, you know, I'm sorry you find it hard to support the show, Hung. I'm terribly sorry about that. I'm sorry it was easier to support the show when I was running it on a lot less than anybody needs to keep things going. Terribly sorry. Terribly, terribly sorry. And I'm sorry about my whatever. But like I said, y'all don't hesitate to tell me when things are on your mind. And that's okay. I mean, I'm glad to hear that from Hung. it's good to know where people stand. I'm guessing Joe Rogan doesn't get those kinds of emails. Or maybe he just doesn't read them or doesn't care. Because he doesn't have a community. He's got people that he delivers into the hands of advertisers in exchange for money. And with an audience the size of his, why would he care? But, you know, this program's been going on for rather a long time. I think we may actually be older than the Joe Rogan experience. And I'm proud of the fact that I haven't told any young people to go and risk death if they think they're eating a good diet and exercising well down at the gym where people are huffing and puffing COVID particles into the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
But there's a lot of jobs that will tell you you need to have this.
Well, that's what's starting to happen now.
People are worried about them doing it for their children. And we talked about this earlier. Yeah. There's that you might have to have your children vaccinated. And, you know, I can tell you as someone who's both...
Jesus, not have your children vaccinated? Oh, my God, that's unbearable. There will be no freedom left in Merca no more. If we have to have the children vaccinated... What kind of a moron is this? You have to prove that your children have been vaccinated to get them started in kindergarten for good goddamn reason. But I guess anti-vaxxing is a big dollar. I guess there's good money in it. Clickishness of it all.
Both my children got the virus. It was nothing. I mean, I hate to say that. If someone's children died from this, I'm...
Oh, well, you know, if somebody's children died, as long as they're not Joe Rogan's fucking children. You know, he doesn't live close to the bone. He doesn't know what a struggle is. He doesn't worry about the difference between the house payment or making a health insurance payment, or God forbid that the fucking transmission goes out on his 10-year-old vehicle. It doesn't touch Joe Rogan. Shit, he's probably okay just off the royalties from the reruns of news radio. But when he talks this anti-vax garbage, it's actually more dangerous than when Alex Jones is doing it, because Alex Jones is Alex Jones. But they are of the same stripe. They are of that ilk. And you can add the fucker Carlson into it, too. I mean, my children had it. It was nothing. Well, I mean, that's because God likes you better, Joe. Is it safe to get, I mean, in that, is it safe to get the vaccine question? Is the unstated portion of that, is it safe to get a vaccine if I am at the upper levels of a prosperous industrialized society and I can hardly hear my conscience at all? Absolutely. But that's where the goddess of irony kicks in. What if you're part of a marginalized community that has been eaten alive by this virus? What if you're black or brown? What if you're Hispanic, Asian, and have seen the virus rip through your communities? And there are people still out there in your community going, don't get the virus. Don't get the virus. Don't get the vaccine. If you get the virus, just hope that, you know, maybe you'll be okay. Maybe it'll be, well, like, no, it won't be any worse than a hangover. Maybe you'll only lose your sense of taste and smell for 2 or 3 months. You'll come back. And what were you eating anyway? I hate this shit. But it's a big dollar. And that big dollar is everything in for-profit broadcasting. Everything. It's everything in America.
I'm very sorry that that happened. I'm not in any way diminishing that. But I'm saying...
Except for the fact that he did diminish the people who died from it and whose children died from it. He did diminish it when he said, well, you know, you don't need the vaccine.
The personal experience that my children had with COVID was nothing. One of the kids had a headache. The other one didn't feel good for a couple days.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, I mean, not feel good, like no big deal. No coughing,
right.
no achy,
yeah,
no, like, in agony. There was none of that. It was very mild. It was akin.
I wonder if his kids were vaccinated against, measles, chicken pox, mumps, diphtheria, typhus, tetanus. Is that the benchmark standard for Joe Rogan? Did my children suffer enough to make me feel bad about it? How'd your children get it, Joe? Did you bring it home to them? But how much difference is there between this guy and, say, the former governor of Kentucky, Matt Bevin, who actually sent his children to the home of someone whose kids had chicken pox for a chicken pox party so that they could all LARP and smolik around each? My God, if a poor person was caught doing like that, doing a child protective services would be on him like a duck on a June bug with a legitimate claim of fucking child endangerment. But wealth will protect you. And that's the essential neo-Calvinist argument that Joe Rogan is putting forward in this little hogwash diatribe. I'm wealthy. I'll be okay. And he may be right. If you go all the way back to the Black Plague, who wrote the Decameron? The Decameron is a series of 10 stories in Italian or Latin, and they're the stories that travelers told each other as they lit the fuck out of the cities to their country estates to avoid the plague because they were wealthy enough to have country estates. Igamfu, y'all. Igamfu. And by the way, Jeremy just kicked in another $10. Here's 10 more hung like Jesus. It's only money. Not that hard. Thanks. Thanks, Jeremy. And thanks to Charlene and Rogues Island for kicking in $28 based on the suggestion from Ralphs. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. Lee asks, is it safe to not get the vaccine? The answer is obvious. As long as you can avoid the virus, you don't need the vaccine. But you never know when you're near the virus. Measles! Polio! Smallpox! Airborne! I don't know. Maybe Joe Rogan has the Ebola approach to the COVID and thinks that it's only if you go and hug and LARP and smolik around on a sweaty Liberian that's the only way you're going to get it. No, sorry, Joe. Arthur, my kids had little COVID symptoms. Therefore, all kids everywhere always have mild symptoms. It's just common sense, Bob. Common sense. Robin. Arthur said Rob. I read it as Bob. Old habits die hard. Oh, and by the way, in between the program bleeps, Jeremy says, and burps due to the fact that I have both of my shots, I now hear Bill Gates' radio at all times in the background. It's currently broadcasting, Shut the Fuck Up, Joe Rogan. How many parents of small children are in his audience? Does he bear any sense of responsibility? I mean, God forbid anything happened, but, you know, it was good for my, it was great for my kids. Shh, there's something out there called long-haul syndrome. You've all probably heard about it. It's what happens when you have the virus, and long afterward, you continue to have these inexplicable symptoms. You don't have it anymore. You're okay. But while you had it, it did some nasty shit to you on like a subcellular level. And you're stuck with it for the rest of your life. Now, God forbid this should be the case, but, you know, his kids, they weren't hardly even sick at all. I mean, they weren't in anguish or anything. But what if they get older? And they've taken good care of themselves, and they've eaten a good diet, and they've exercised a lot, and they've pumped iron, and they've gone to the gym. And then something's wrong with their brain. Or something's wrong with their heart. Or something's wrong with their lungs or their bones. What then for Joe Rogan? What then? What happens when the doctor looks and says, well, you know, I mean, it's part, it comes with long-haul syndrome. I mean, you thought it was a mild case, but, you know, it just does shit that we don't understand because we're destroying the planet, or we're destroying the planet's ability to support human life, and along the way we're introducing species to each other that have never met in the wild and have no immunity one to the other, and viruses jump zoonotically from bat piss to God only knows what that's there in the wet market, and the next thing you know, somebody's taking it home to mom. Because we're wiping out so much of the natural ecosystem where things lived before we wiped out the ecosystem. But I'm sure that's a non-thing for Joe Rogan, too, because, you know, muscular masculinity is his thing. Well, trying to cheer me up a little bit, our pal Trey in Kentucky Stan says, Alex Jones is now on a no-fly list, so there's that. Oh, God, that's good. You gotta take your victories where you can find them. Haley writes from Arkansas. I dealt with Rogan's cult-like followers a few months ago on Twitter when I called out Rogan's transphobic views and that of Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah. And as Randy in PA points out, the virus! It's what's for dinner. I have a 7-month-old grandson that I've never seen in anything but photographs. And I would love nothing better than to jump in the car and take that great drive across the vastness of the continent and go see the little guy. And apparently, having had the Pfizer vaccine, I'm as immune as I'm going to get. But I want to make sure, I want to wait until my daughter, who is young as in under the threshold for, or until recently under the threshold for being able to get the vaccine, and she's set up to get hers. I want to make sure, because I don't want to put the little guy at any risk. But Joe Rogan, I'm sure, would tell me, well, don't worry about it, Robin. I mean, if they get it, it'll be no big deal. It's not like any infants, it's not like any babes in arms have died from COVID. Oh, wait, yes, they have. In fact, I feel a certain urgency for getting out there. Be kind of cool. Take the rig with me. Stop early for the evening. Set up the rig. Do the program. Go on. You know, might stretch it into 2 or 3 days. It's a 24-hour drive. It's good for me to get out on the road once in a while because it changes perspective. But there's a whole lot of COVID between here and there. And I do not have zero risk. I have reduced risk. I have 94-95% effectiveness against the original variant. No idea how that stands with the British variant, the South African variant, the LA variant, the Indian variant, the double variant, the Brazilian variant. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Randy points out you got to wait until 2 weeks after you've had your second shot. Well, I had my second shot I had my second shot 27 days ago. Bill in PA says, Joe Rogan, I'm wondering if neo-Calvinist and neoliberal are the same thing. Just asking. No, they're not. They're so not.
Into them getting a cold.
Yeah, and you can have this thing where it's like you were saying, this virtue signaling and this kind of like theatrical display of I get the vaccine, what a good person I am, I care about everyone. But you're like, look, my daughter's a lot younger than your kids, but I'm like, yeah, I'm not injecting my daughter with something to fucking virtue signal.
Right. Yeah, because that's what vaccination is. It's virtue signaling. I don't know who came up with that phrase, but I would like to have them given a stern talking to. I first noted the phrase virtue signaling on the purity left, and then it got picked up by the purity right. Funny how that happens. And it seems to be a term that is applied to anyone who engages earnestly in trying to point out a stupidity or an injustice. I heard virtue signaling applied to people who thought it a good idea that the cops not just randomly and frequently murder young black men. Oh, well, you know, they're only talking about virtue signaling. How can you make a judgment like that? Because you do not know what is in someone's heart in that regard. I really would like to live in America where a black guy can get stopped for a traffic violation and not go away from the exchange dead. But that's virtue signaling, if I say that out loud. Note coming from our pal O-Pipe Down on Twitter. Sorry about Hung's correspondence. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Dummies like Rogan like to dismiss any possibility of weakness. I know, it's part of the toxic masculinity. O-Pipe Down notes, my teetotaling workout-loving daddy had his heart weakened by exposure to scarlet fever as a kid and died early. But 74 is far too far ahead for bros to see and, you know, old. Scarlet fever as a child. And yet it wound up being the death of him. Early. And these clowns sit there blathering into a microphone about virtue signaling.
Like, right. I'm not doing that.
Right.
If there's something that she's of no risk, statistically has no risk from, right. I'm sorry, I'm not taking any experiment on her.
Yeah, okay, there is something there's no risk from. Well, there is a verified statistical risk to COVID in children. That's undisputed. You know where there's no statistical risk? in the Johnson & Johnson or AstraZeneca. And especially because these guys are so very butchly masculine, they don't have to worry about blood clots. Because all of the cases have been women. Because, and this is one of the things I found out, women are statistically more susceptible to blood clots than males. Only, and for some reason or another, it went up a little bit when I started my hormone regimen. But that is an acceptable risk to me. And not having one's child die too young after one has already shuffled off this mortal coil is not an acceptable risk. In the female population, there's more of a risk of blood clots from birth control pills. Or to having babies. But the for-profit media is out there beating the drum of the blood clot risk for AstraZeneca or Johnson & Johnson. And it's grist for the mill for Joe Rogan here. And Jeremy says there's really 0% risk of COVID when it's already killed just stone dead. Yeah. There's only about 30 seconds left of this stupidity.
In that, and that's my attitude.
But it's amazing that that's controversial.
Yeah.
That even saying that I'm not going to inject my child with the vaccine is controversial.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, again, we are not talking.
Why is it crazy to not take care? Why is it crazy to suggest that you're not going to take care of your kid? I mean, it's crazy that it's controversial for me to say that I'm not going to let my kid have food. Where's the risk? I mean, I'm tired of all this virtue signaling from people who think that children should eat. Again, are his children vaccinated? Are they in public school? Or are they going to some floor-rolling, tongue-speaking school? I saw the story yesterday of one school. It's a private school. It's a religious school that has said the school absolutely will not hire any teacher who has had the vaccine. Not won't hire any teacher who hasn't had the vaccine, but will not hire any teacher who has had the vaccine. Because religious freedom and liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about even the flu that we just found out killed 22,000 people last year. We're not talking about that.
Right.
We're not talking about the flu that killed 22,000 people last year, because the flu killed 22,000 people last year. And Joe Rogan, you goddamn moron. That is a shit ton fewer people than it killed in years previously, because we were actually taking precautions that largely curtailed the spread of the flu virus. Fucking toxic morons. Titanic. Jackasses.
We're talking about something that is not statistically dangerous for children. But yet, people still want you to get your child vaccinated, which is crazy to me.
Well, first of all, we still don't have full approval for children to be vaccinated. If it is safe for children to be vaccinated, children should be vaccinated, just like they're vaccinated for measles. Just like they're vaccinated as early pubescents, early adolescents, teenagers for human papillomavirus, which leads directly in girls to cervical cancer. The virus, not the vaccine. we vaccinate our children, if we are wise, against meningitis, because it kills in the late adolescent, early adult population, you know, about college age. Wonder if Joe will get his children vaccinated against that. Of course, by then, maybe it'll be their choice. Gotta wonder what kind of kids he's raising. Okay, apparently I got it wrong. Darlene pointed out one man presented with a blood clot in his leg after getting the Johnson & Johnson shot about 2 weeks ago, reported on CBS this morning. My guess is there will be more men. It's possible. The numbers still remain extremely low. As someone, Darlene says, who is genetically susceptible to blood clots and strokes and being a woman, I don't care how low the odds are. I will not get the J&J. I'm recovering from the first Pfizer shot. So far, so good. Well, you're not going to have to get the J&J. You got the Pfizer. You know, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics, as the old saying goes. And as between the possibility of dying of COVID and having a 0.0001% risk? No, COVID is a higher risk of mortality, even under that rubric. Earther says, you know what I call bragging about not vaccinating your family in order to avoid virtue signaling? Virtue signaling. Right, because not vaccinating has become a virtue among a certain bizarre demographic of this country. Here's an interesting example from Jeremy in Vermont. Doesn't little Lindsey Graham virtually signal he's really a gay man who pretends to be straight even while his colleagues laugh at him to and behind his back because they know they really don't care, but his fear is too strong to admit it? Is that virtue signaling? Or is there another phrase for it? Well, thank you, Jude. Thank you for that most, most kind note. And so from Joe Rogan, we go over to the king of white supremacy. You know who I mean by that. Yeah, Tucker Carlson. Again, another clip. Well, wait, let's go back to email for just a moment here. Iowa Dan says, if we reverse the roles and COVID-19 had statistically irrelevant effects against elderly people but had devastating effects on children, then elderly people shouldn't get vaccinated? Bullshit. These people would be losing their fucking minds over the fact that old people aren't getting vaccinated for the sake of children and herd immunity. Sure. And, you know, it's no big deal for... And we've been there. See, that's the other part of all this. That knowing history matters. We've been there. The 1919 dirty white pig farmer flu. The 1919 dirty Kansas white pig farmer flu. Was especially brutal on children and young people. I know because I'm here as a result of it. We've talked about that before. My grandmother was all set to marry a young man whose last name was Legg, L-E-G-G. First World War was over. And he got the 1919 dirty white Kansas pig farmer flu, and my grandmother lost her fiancé. Well, she didn't lose him. He fucking died. Then she had to marry that Kincaid boy. And here I am. And it killed, well, countless children. But at least they didn't have a Joe Rogan to contend with. And Iowa Dan is absolutely correct. And gosh, let me see. We are now down below, 499, $489. We're about $474 from being even with the week. So thank you very much to those who have made that possible. Jeremy took care of Joey and Giraffe's challenge, and Charlene answered Ralph's. And that's where we got to how we got to where we are. Be great if we could finish off yesterday. That's $170 or so away. And I'm sorry if I'm being cliquish. Where the fuck did that come from, cliquishness? Is that from Friday on the Front Porch? You know what? Here's a secret of conversation radio. Anybody can get on this air that wants to. Anybody can talk who wants to. I take the calls. It's not like I'm screening them or avoiding any of them. Try it and find out. You'll find it's true. But anyway, back to the king of white supremacy in America, Fucker Carlson. Fucker well, most of the time he's engaged in straight up racist white supremacy, but now he's well, I guess he's, I don't know if Joe Rogan's working his side of the street or he's working Joe's. By God, Tucker doesn't like to see anybody wearing a mask. Oh, hell no. That's intolerable. Right? Because it's offensive to see someone who's trying not to spread the disease. Because, again, that's what the masking is about. It's not about trying not to get it. It's about trying not to spread it in case you would happen to be an asymptomatic carrier. Right? And so they took a run at this shit on CNN.
To loosen guidance for mask wearing outdoors, especially for people who are fully vaccinated. Welcome news and science-based, since doctors say transmission is significantly lower outdoors. But Fox's chief public health officer is using the moment to encourage confrontations over masks. This is what he's shoveling to his millions of viewers.
Angry Biden voters will snort at you in judgment. How could you? They're saying from behind the gauze. How could you? That's the question we should be asking of them in return. The rest of us should be snorting at them first.
Wait a minute. Did you catch that phrase, from behind the gauze? Now, I am a longtime practitioner of the art of word knowing. And I'm also barely consistent, except for the times that I get out of the car and I forget my mask and I have to turn around and go back and put my mask on. A fairly consistent practitioner of masking for the sake of my fellow man and woman. And yet, Cucky Tucky thinks that the mask is made of gauze? Gauze? Because my mask is not made of gauze. My mask is made of multiple layers of fabric that aren't gauze, which have in the middle of them a filter, also multi-layered, that depending on which mask I'm wearing will either filter out 99% of particulates or 95% of particulates. And so, yeah, it is okay to look at some asshole who won't wear a mask and say, how dare you? Because it's not that they're not protecting themselves. It is that they are telling you and the entire goddamn world that they don't give a fuck about anybody. And really, is there a better definition for Republican than that? I don't give a fuck about nothing. I don't give a fuck about anybody. Just give me some money. I want a goddamn tax cut. There we go.
The aggressors. It's our job to brush them back and restore the society we were born in. So the next time you see someone in a mask on the sidewalk or on the bike path, do not hesitate. Ask politely but firmly, would you please take off your mask? Science shows there is no reason for you to be wearing it.
No, science doesn't show that. Science shows that if you are absolutely out there and nowhere near anybody, there's no reason to wear a mask. That's what science shows. But if you're close enough for somebody to say, take your mask off, the best response is Shakespeare. Do thou adjust thy face and I'll do thou amend thy face and I'll amend my life. Why do you want me to take my mask off so you can see the rest of my face while my fist is on the way to yours? Does this dumb bastard not understand that his side is not the only one that is now packing concealed heat? I mean, granted, we're kind of atypical here in West Virginia, but I know people when they go out on the trails and out in the woods carry a pistol. Not because they're looking to kill anybody, but because there are things out in nature that might just need shooting. Especially in a national park. Rattlesnakes, copperheads. Usually they try to stay away from you, but you know, they can get aggressive. Rabid fucking coyotes, rabid fucking raccoons. They're all out there. Nature. And hey, it's a national park, friends and neighbors. And thanks to the Kenyan Muslim usurper who was going to take away all our guns, well, the only actual rule or law that he managed to promulgate in regard to guns was to allow good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-mentalist, ammosexual, Christian gun humpers to carry guns in national parks, which I now live near one and spend rather a lot of time in. I'm guessing, you know, Cucky Tucky being that he spends all his time on TV and probably not much out among the hoi polloi, I'm guessing he's not going to confront somebody in a mask. Somebody wearing a mask. But this is all a result of the CDC saying that you don't have to wear masks outside anymore, but it came with a caveat. You don't have to wear masks outside anymore unless you're in a group. And unless you still have to make efforts to socially distance. Because that's still out there. Because the virus is still out there. Oh, dear God, let it go, Jeremy. I really hope you wear a mask when you grind your own sausage. I'm talking about food safety. Jesus, get your minds out of the gutter. Well, it ain't me. That's you. So, the CDC guidance is rational as far as I can tell. But it's for outdoor settings. And it's for outdoor settings where you're not less than 15 feet away from somebody. Or 10. Or 7. But without a doubt, where what Cucky Tucky was saying, he is taught, what, you're going to stop 15 feet away and say, take off your mask? Where's this? But he is engaging in stochastic terrorism. He wants people to get hurt as a result of this because he's the kind of fucking the psychopath who gets off on seeing people hurt. I don't know. Maybe somebody hurt him along the way. But again, he's in college claiming to be a member of the Dan White Society. There was never any Dan White Society. That was something he made up because he thought he was fucking clever. And he thought it was funny how Dan White assassinated Harvey Milk and George Moscone. And Harvey Milk being a gay man. Haw, haw, haw. When Cucky Tucky was in college, he thought it was... And it was... He's not even of the same age group. He's not part of the demographic. The assassination of Harvey Milk and George Moscone happened at best when Tucker was still shitting his pants. But he delved deeply into his trick bag of homophobia as far back as some little college in Connecticut. To make sure that the world knew that he hated the gays. And then he went on to brag about how he had, a gay guy had made him uncomfortable and he went and beat him up. Mm-hmm. Randy and PA, Republicans are about more than money. They're about money, sex, power, fear, mongering, punishment, pain, and control. True. We regret the error. Robin, stop telling us to shoot rattlesnakes in national parks. They're good rodent suppressors. Fair point. But when the rodent they're trying to suppress is you? Nah. Oh, and by the way, as to statistics, note from Cynthia in the Bay Area, I like to revise that quote on statistics. I like to say statistics don't lie, but you can sure lie with statistics. And people lie by taking a statistic out of the context of all the stats that went with it, like looking at average income when your population includes a handful of working people and Jeff Bezos. If you added in the mean, standard deviation, and the like to the average, then you would know that the average is fucked up in the lie when used all by itself. That's a great example. Handful of working people, Jeff Bezos. Yeah, and then you take the average and everybody's making, you know, Bezos money. When they're not. Tell us more, Cucky Tucky. Because he wants to see people dead. You know, more than we already have.
Your mask is making me uncomfortable.
He is telling his viewers to confront people who are wearing masks outdoors. To harass them.
To start shit. And given his viewing audience, eventually that'll be a thing here. Because that shit spreads in places with... And God knows, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda knows that that's a big deal in places like this. Low education, low information, and just waiting for something to be aggrieved over plays big behind the cornpone curtain and has for as long as there's been a cornpone curtain. I mean, he kind of went on and on. He went so far as to say that people should call the police immediately, contact Child Protective Services, keep calling till somebody arrives if his viewers mouth walkers and knuckle breathers that they are, see someone who has their children wearing masks. Now remember, these simple devices have been proven for decades, a century, to save lives. That's why doctors wear them, why surgeons wear them, why healthcare providers wear them, and why we wear them as a sign of respect for other people. Take off your mask! No, I'm wearing this mask because even though you're an idiot not deserving of it, I respect you. Yeah, this is a hell of a thing. Let's see if we can bring up this audio. Because what stochastic terrorism sounds like is important to know. You know, this program, little humble program that it is, does serve as a sort of historical record of who we are and where we are. And so, consequently, yeah, this.
We did give in. This grotesque version of Halloween went on for more than a year, and it's still going on. Not even Tony Fauci still pretends that masks are medically necessary. Instead, masks are purely a sign of political obedience, like Kim Il-sung pins in Pyongyang.
No, not even. Anthony Fauci is not telling anyone that masks are not medically necessary. They are medically necessary. They are scientifically necessary, especially in closed spaces. If you are by yourself, out in your yard, mowing the grass, weed eating, whatever. I was doing it yesterday. I was not wearing a mask because there was not another human being within 200 feet of me. I could hear a riding lawnmower in the distance. That was it. There's no need for a mask there. But I had one in my pocket. And if UPS or somebody like that had pulled up, pulled up in the driveway, it would have gone on before I went to speak to anybody. Because I don't know what their vaccination status is. I'm as protected as we can scientifically say we are protected. But I don't know about the other person. But this is like a little anthropology documentary. This is what the weird little people who believe in MAGA and QAnon and the basement of a pizza joint that doesn't have a basement that also has children in it who's Hillary Clinton's wearing their faces and drinking their blood. Only not. These are their thought leaders. These are their idea creators.
We wear them because we have to. The only people who wear masks voluntarily outside are zealots and neurotics. How neurotic are they? Well, we know. A Pew survey from last March found that 64% of white Americans who classify themselves as liberal or very liberal have been diagnosed with an actual mental health condition. And you see them everywhere when you walk down the street in any major city. If you dare to go on foot from Union Station to the Capitol, for example, in Washington without wearing a mask, angry Biden voters will snort at you in judgment. How could you? They're saying.
Yeah, see, that's what went before the clip that CNN played. And it's all utter bullshit. I wonder if Cucky Tucky wears one. And his defense, well, I'm only talking about outside. Well, you know what? Outside in D.C. is outside with a lot of people. And he still doesn't understand that this is a question of ballistics. He loves him some guns, but he doesn't understand ballistics. He doesn't understand that this is a matter of projection of particles, solids. We talk about they're teeny tiny. That's what makes them dangerous. They're teeny tiny, but they are still solids. And we eject them, and they follow the rules of ballistics. They follow the laws of physics. The laws of physics apply to the great and the small. But this is too much. It's not too much for the Horn Family Community Congregation, cliquish though we are, bunch of sycophants. But it's too much for Emery and Marveline sitting in their matching Barca loungers down there at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club. Yeah, what's she saying, Marveline, that the virus is a bullet? I don't know. He doesn't even love Jesus, Emery. But Jesus loves him. Angry Biden voters. So now, and back a year ago, we found out that wearing a mask was going to be it's an IQ test. But it's also, and by the way, that Pew survey, I think, has been retracted. Because it was certainly misapplied. It's not just a percentage of people who are liberal who have a mental health issue. There are mental health issues. And thank you, Tucker Carlson, for re-stigmatizing mental health. There's all kinds of mental health diagnoses. You can probably develop a mental health diagnosis just trying to comprehend the DSM-5. And I would not be surprised if Michael Savage Wiener sues Cucky Tucky, because Michael Savage Wiener wrote a book years and years and years ago and apparently made a little passel of money on it called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Remember Bro Fromix, Rick Santorum, saying that people came here to live like they ought to live? Well, you ought to live with no mask. Wouldn't you love to just see these people at a cocktail party? No, I wouldn't.
How could you? That's the question we should be asking of them in return. The rest of us should be snorting at them first. They're the aggressors. It's our job to brush them back and restore the society we were born in. So the next time you see someone in a mask on the sidewalk or on the bike path, do not hesitate. Ask politely but firmly, would you please take off your mask? Science shows there is no reason for you to be wearing it. Your mask...
No, science doesn't, and that some of that shit has been retracted.
Mask is making me uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm sorry, Snowflake. Do you need a safe space? You're uncomfortable. Oh, poor baby. But we can't say that to some fucking hero who can't go to Wally World for a loaf of bread and a jug of milk without strapping heat. Your gun is making me uncomfortable. No, because constitutional rights. Yeah.
We should do that, and we should keep doing it until wearing a mask outside is roughly as socially accepted as lighting a Marlboro in an elevator. It's repulsive. Don't do it around other people.
What about the freedom to light a Marlboro in an elevator? You'll notice he didn't mention farting in an elevator, because Tucker Carlson's the kind of guy that lets a silent but deadly go and then looks at the person standing next to him. Little shit heel.
That's the message we should send, because it's true. As for forcing children to wear masks outside, that should be illegal. Your response when you see children wearing masks as they play should be no different from your response to seeing someone beat a kid in Walmart. Call the police immediately. Contact Child Protective Services. Keep calling.
Don't you love what passes for thought among Republicans? beating a child in Walmart is the same as a child in Walmart wearing a mask.
What, Edith, huh?
One is going to have lasting consequences and probably, did he say, Ron in Raleigh asks, that a survey diagnosed a mental disorder? How the hell does that work? Tucker has some of that tainted testosterone I mentioned recently. Yes. Bad shit, man. Bad shit. Hey, congratulations to Robert in Australia. I had my first AstraZeneca injection on April 9th. My general practitioner had an assembly line injection process going with all his high-risk over 50-year-old patients turning up every 5 minutes. We had a short talk about the known problems with AstraZeneca and the statistical risks, which were next to zero. I had my shot, waited in the waiting room for 15 minutes, and went home. My arm did not get sore, nor did I get a headache, but a few days later, I felt a little off color. Was that a result of the injection? I honestly don't know. The next injection is due on July 2nd. I have no problem with vaccines. I remember polio. I'd seen the films of hospital wards here in Australia full of children with polio. I was in the first generation to get the polio vaccine. I've never heard of anyone getting it since. And after I've had my second injection, I will continue to carry a mask and wear it when necessary for the next few years. By the way, if the U.S. is indeed a free country, you have a right to wear a mask if you want to, when and where you want to. There's that. Your mask is making me uncomfortable. Live with it. It's America. I'm free to wear a mask anywhere I fucking want to. Move along before you have a problem. Brilliant observation. Thank you, Robert. And another thing, says Matt in San Francisco, so a guy who has security escort him from the studio to the limo and from the limo to his door is telling people to confront each other on the street. What could possibly go wrong when an old white lady calls the cops on someone with darker pigment? This man needs to be pulled off the air. He does. He should be removed from the air. But you know what? That white grievance that he peddles is a powerful drug. Maybe the most powerful in the history of the colonization, the invasion, the colonization, and the occupation of this continent and this hemisphere. And Randy in PA says, I can understand, sort of, people's skepticism about the vaccine. The U.S. government has consistently lied to us about the inflation rate and the unemployment rate, and people know this. So, and I think some of that goes all the way back to the assassination of JFK. That really was kind of our break point. And since then, it's been a steady diet of shit that some portion of our country does not believe. Reminding us that believe is the most dangerous word in the English language. I mean, there are people who don't believe that Oswald acted alone. And there are people who believe that we didn't actually go to the moon. And there are people who believe that the vapor trails caused by jet aircraft in the high, cold spaces where things condense rather quickly of the upper atmosphere are actually chemicals being sprayed by, I don't know, Bill Gates, onto an unsuspecting public. And there are people who believe that aliens built pyramids. And on and on and on and on. It's sort of a cafeteria approach to paranoia. I heard that, said Jeremy. I know I just heard the studio kitten. She's trying to be stealthy. And there's nothing we can do about Carlson's toxic speech, Flavio says. He needs to be pulled off the air. Other civilized countries would have a long, long time ago. Other civilized countries do not have a fetishized approach to free speech like we do in this country. And the only thing that'll pull Tucker Carlson off the air is economic force. You'll notice he's in the slot that used to be occupied by, what, Bull O'Reilly? Yeah? Or or is that Frau Ingram who's in that slot? But the point remains the same. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Tucker doesn't engage in sexual harassment. Maybe. Arthur says, that's right, Tucker. Preach, brother. We should gather all those people with the mental illness of mask wearing and germ theory of disease and concentrate them somewhere separate from the rest of us decent and pure folk. Finally, someone has a solution. Maybe it's the final solution, I guess. Haben Sie gehört, haben geworden sein. Jawohl, Herr Tucker. I hate fascists. I just really, really do. And so we are approaching the end of the program, and this has been two hours and 46 minutes of pure cliquish filibustering and my whatever. But let's go over and check in with Scott, because Scott didn't get much time last night. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
Ah, yeah, I'm fine as frog's hair.
I'm split four ways with the broad axe.
Well, make sure you keep your cliquishness in control, please.
I have mine up on the wall.
Is that by the petard you hang yourself on?
Oh, no. I had to sell that. I sold that to the rioters for January 6th. Little did I know. They said they wanted it for a show and tell.
Oh, by the way, before we dive into this, I got one more remark from Matt in San Francisco, and you're going to enjoy this. Subject line,
okay.
Tucker's closet. If only his college dorm closet could speak, Matt says. The ones that shout the loudest are trying to cover up for the man in their mouth.
You think?
Shout it from the rooftops, Tucky. I know.
Well, I will. I will. Now, I am not a perfect picture of good mental health and hygiene, but I will take any 10 Horn family members and stack them up against any 10 Fox viewers. And we'll all do the standardized test with our number two pencils, except for some of them will have to have crayon because they should not
or the big chunky ones. I like the big chunky pencils you got in first grade. I still think those are kind of nice.
My big chief tablet. That pencil that you got to hold the back end of it up on your shoulder.
Yeah, but can we rename the big chief tablet, please? Can that just be big whitey tablet?
Big honky.
Yeah. That worked.
Now, children, let's open our big honky tablets.
And work on our cursive writing.
Cursive, yes. I like that word, cursive. Do you know anybody taking breath today, upright and above ground, Robin, who makes a Q like the cursive, the capital Q?
No,
on the cursive
no,
chart?
Not one.
And
no.
It's like a numeral two on acid or something.
Early on, even though I was a little baby Southern Baptist, I figured out why it was called cursive. Because you were sitting there trying to make, a little third grader trying to make one letter flow into the next. God damn it! Yeah, and yeah, that's why it's cursive.
I am. You know what people could do? Who have cable TV, even if you have nothing more than the basic tier of channels, you're paying every month for your cable company to carry Fox so-called news.
Right.
Even if you never watch it, some portion of your bill, and multiply that by millions of basic service cable subscribers in the country, some effort needs to be made toward the cable companies to say, look, we don't like to support with our hard-won dollars this type of programming. We just either give us a credit every month on our bill or move it to a higher tier so that people who want to see it have to pay for it. But then you're having the same problem on a higher tier. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't watch them.
Well, but that's it gets into some pretty complicated territory then, because I also do not wish to economically support QVC or the Trinity Broadcast Network or the Eternal the Infernal Word Television Network. I think they're still rerunning that dead. They're still rerunning that dead nun doing the rosary. It's not like it changes or anything.
She got them glow-in-the-dark beads that she uses now because she...
Yeah, precious Mary, meek and mild. Forgive me, I'm a sinner, for I ran wild. You know. Something like that.
I don't know. I did a little research on old Tucker a while back. I think you might recall me mentioning a HBO documentary series called The Lady and the Dale. And Tucker's daddy...
Is in that.
Is one of the... Yeah. And
why didn't he do a good job as a dad?
Well, somebody got put in some closet at some point, you know, because how do you? And like I say, I wasn't the ideal child or student or any of that stuff growing up when I did. But I will stack my mental health and in touchedness with reality with Tucker any day of the fucking week.
And twice on Sunday.
And, well, let's not go overboard. I mean, I have to... I didn't realize until I had done a little research that on his mother's side of the family, or his stepmother, somebody's side of the family, is tied into the Swanson pot pie and frozen dinner.
Yes.
Empire. Makes me wonder what they put in those pot pies. If people eat them and start spouting.
Well, they call them pot pies for a reason, for God's sake, Scott.
Yeah, but you can't keep them lit, man. You ever try to light one?
Yeah, and it takes a jumper cable to when you get down to the bare end of it.
Have they? I haven't had a pot pie for years. Do they? Are they microwavable? Because it used to be some are.
That calendar woman, I think, has microwavable pot pies because it's not in aluminum anymore.
Marie. Da, 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 da. That's Marie Calendar, right?
Yes.
Anyway. All right. Well, I'm sorry I'm late to the party today. My sleeping habits are such that at this point, I don't know when I'm going to wake up. I don't know when I'm going to go to sleep. I don't know when I'm going to wake up. Obviously, my calendar is wide open. There are not a lot of appointments in the offing. So I miss the... I'll have to catch the filibuster on the replay. But can't we just get along? Can't we just...
No.
Work it out some way that we can, you know... And if this is what they're going to run on, they must be doing it for the reason that there are people out there gullible.
No, they're running on Joe Biden's taking your hamburgers and your Dr. Seuss. Don't kid yourself.
Dr. Seuss and hamburgers, yes. Now that's policy wonkism for the ages. These fuckers. I'm not interested. And then I read yesterday the preliminary head count with the census. That means my state, California, my adoptive state, is going to lose a House seat. And there are other states.
First time in 170 years.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that. I would like to, you know, they're supposedly very laser-like focused on vote counting. Let's do a recount of the census, or let's do an addendum. Those people who did not participate or did not get their form or were not counted. I think we need, you know, because you look at who was the guy that Trump put in charge of the Commerce Department, I believe, which is the
Wilbur Ross.
Wilbur Ross. Now there's a winning. You're not going to see his face on a postage stamp anytime soon or any currency, you know. And they tried to keep the census from being conducted. It's in the Constitution, Bob.
It's in the Constitution.
I mean, something's drastically wrong. I have not seen a large number of souls doing a Grapes of Wrath in reverse in the past 18 months from California. I haven't seen it. Maybe it did happen. Maybe people went away or died or something. But I have to, I am skeptical, okay? I'm just skeptical that this whole census, and we only do it once every 10 fucking years. There's plenty of time to learn how to get it right in the intervening years. There's just so much. I mean, there's so much crap that we've got to deal with when our attention and energy should all be focused on getting stuff done that has needed doing and gone undone for decades now. We just have to grow up and just buckle down and get this shit handled. Because I don't know whether it was you or Todd yesterday that mentioned, or maybe I dreamt it, the Russia, Putin is just creaming his...
Yes! No, that was Todd.
Yeah. And yes, I like the nations to get along, but I much prefer getting along with nations that are headed by people who are not out to destroy the land of my birth. And I don't mean to wave my flag here, but I have a vested interest in the viability of the U.S. of A. working in
remaining what was once called a going concern.
Yes, bingo, bingo. See, this will teach me to sleep late. I should have been up at the crack of at the start of the horn broadcast theme today, but I wasn't because I'm sure I missed a lot of good stuff and slapped my wrist. Take away my jujubes, you know? Yeah. They still make jujubes?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's another thing that I think all the dentists pooled their money in an investment scheme
and,
to create and market jujubes.
And Jolly Ranchers.
Well,
you
now,
can one Jolly Rancher will take out $75,000 worth of dental work.
Yes, that's why I avoid them assiduously. And I always got confused. Are jujubes the same company that had Juji Fruits? Not Juicy Fruit the gum, but Juji Fruits.
I think so.
There's something in that. I don't want to disparage the product, but kids, if you like to have a good bite, if you want to have yourself an apple without Polygrip, you know, stay away from certain candies. That's all I'm saying. A word to the wise, kids.
Sugar daddies?
Oh, God. I did like sugar babies. The little individual ones.
Yeah,
that came
they can't jerk every tooth out of your head with one, you know, no.
And do you know the history of the company, the original company that did Sugar Daddies and Sugar Babies, was Welch. And it was related to the Welch family that started the John Birch Society. Did you know that?
And the grape juice people?
I don't know if they're
the grape juice people. I think he was an Episcopal bishop or something.
The grape juice? Well, yeah. when you're playing church growing up, it's because some kids play house. So Catholic kids play church, okay? And you've got to, never mind, I'm not even going to go there. I have obviously not had enough coffee. I'm late to the program.
And now I have to go.
And now you have to go. So we'll have to do a early bird wake-up service call by one of the Horn family members to get my butt out of bed earlier.
Oh, and hey, Matt just offered up a thought that I think is worth taking into consideration about the census and California losing a House seat. I don't think my home value would have doubled over the last 5 years if everyone was leaving. The fix is in, and these Republicans are fixing to steal the House in 22. By the time we figure out what dastardly deeds were done, it'll be 2024, and they will have employed an entirely new bag of tricks.
Yeah.
And again, I mentioned this last night, you know, when I was only talking about Joe Manchin, I also bothered to mention the fact that I was hollering way back when, you got to pay attention to 2016, you got to vote for Hillary, because the Republicans will fuck the census in 2020, and look, it happened.
Yeah, here we are. And that's the evil nature of these folks who are in charge on that side of the aisle. They use the mechanics and the mechanism of our own fucking government and work their evil ways with it to the detriment of everybody except their corporate masters and who knows who overseas pulling, you know, hidden strings.
Yeah.
And people have got to wake up to it and be aware of it.
Which is not to say the Illuminati, Bilderberger, Rosicrucian, Freemason, Shriners.
Wait a minute. Earlier you were talking about things that people believe.
Okay, you get to believe that, Scott.
The moon landing, Robin, was fake. Pro wrestling is real, but the moon landing
Good night, Scott.
Was fake.
Good night, Scott.
Robin. Good night, Robin. See ya. Later. Bye.
I'll talk to you later. We're out of here.
Take care.
See ya. Wake up! Our buddy Scott calling from San Diego. Oh, we have such fun. But that's how it is in a click. Yeah. So thank you. Thanks to everybody who jumped in this evening. We got the fundraising down to within like $270 would be what something I don't know. But thank you for your participation and thank you for helping out. It means more than you can know. Thanks to our subscribers both at Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, all partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Thank you to each and every one of you who calls your member of the House and asks them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine when you can. Keep wearing your mask. Keep washing your hands. Keep not touching your face. Don't do it because you're virtue signaling. Do it because you're trying to stay the fuck alive. And help others stay alive, too. Even, as odd as it may seem, the goddamn maggots and the people who tune into Cucky Tucky night after night. And, of course, if someone comes towards you saying, call CPS on somebody who has their children wearing masks outside, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.